This is a work of the Durham Church of Christ. Visit our website at durhamcoc.com.
Programs can be beneficial. When we think about the need to provoke others to begin participating in the work of the church, especially in an area where maybe they're failing or needing encouragement or training, programs can really help in this matter. But programs regarding the work of the church are to be a launching pad for a new way of living, not the end in our efforts regarding that area. But unfortunately, too often, programs are not viewed that way. They are viewed rather as being the end-all be-all of that effort. Take, for example, evangelism. Evangelism programs, rather than being viewed as a launching pad to provoke the church to begin engaging in evangelism on a continual basis, it is viewed as the one and only effort that maybe members can participate in, rather than members viewing it as it being something they must participate in and they desire to participate in, to then provoke them to live a whole life filled with seeking to evangelize. And when we look at the world's greatest evangelism program, that is the blueprint we have for it in the Bible, throughout the book of Acts, we see that evangelizing is not something that was limited to a certain day, maybe one day of the month, or one day a week, or when I meet with the brethren and we go out and we evangelize, and that's when I'm going to evangelize. No, that's not how evangelism was practiced. That's not the blueprint for the world's greatest evangelism program. Evangelism was a way of life. It was a way of thinking. It was a way of everyday movement. It was not something that was contained and compartmentalized into one area of one's life, and then someone's going to then go off and go to work or go to the gym or go eat, but we'll evangelize at the end of the week. No, that's not how it was done. Look with me in Acts chapter 5. Verses 41 and 42 we read, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." Here they had been persecuted. They had been beaten, as we see in verse 40, for preaching the gospel. We noticed in the first lesson in this two-part series that difficulties are going to arise if we're evangelizing. Well, difficulties arose for them. They were beaten for preaching the gospel, but they're rejoicing because they view it as we are worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. And then we see verse 42. "And daily in the temple," what did they do? Hide their faces now that they've been beaten? Do they shy away from any contact from others regarding the gospel? No. "And in every house," not only in the temple, but in every house, "they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They ceased not. It was a continual effort. It was a never-ending mindset of growing the church, teaching others the gospel. That is how they live. Notice also Acts 20 and verse 20. Sometimes we have the mindset, as we viewed in the first lesson, that evangelism belongs to the leadership, the elders and the deacons and the preacher, those that are in public roles, those that are maybe teaching and leading public assemblies. They should evangelize. They're the ones that have the ability to do so. Evangelism isn't something that I should be participating in, but no. Evangelism takes place publicly, but it also takes place privately. Notice what Paul states in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. "And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." It was done on an intimate level, on a personal level, on a private level, as well as on a public level. Do we view evangelism that way? Well, that's the blueprint we have for it here in the Bible. It was a lifestyle. It was a way of thinking. And evangelism has so many blessings that come with it. You know, when we are thinking every day as to how we can evangelize this world, as to how we can teach others the gospel, it gives us an opportunity to be drawn closer to God, to fall into a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him as we pray about the souls we're coming in contact with, as we're praying about our efforts and the courage and the boldness that we desire to be able to preach the gospel and to teach others about Jesus. Evangelism is a blessing. It is not something that we should fear. It is not something that we should shy away from. It is not something that we should try to proxy off to others, thinking that we can rid ourselves of our responsibility to evangelize because we're going to put it all on this brother in Christ or this sister in Christ, as maybe a lady goes off and tries to convert women to the gospel and teaching ladies classes and maybe women in the jail and men going off and them preaching to jail ministries and being engaged in maybe nursing home devotionals. We shouldn't just say, well, they are participating in these areas, and so they're doing it, and the preacher's preaching the gospel from the pulpit, and so that way I'm participating by my offering. I'm proxying off my evangelism responsibilities. No, it doesn't work that way. We don't get to do that. We have the responsibility. It lies upon us, each individual child of God. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. Those that have obeyed the gospel, that have put on Christ in baptism, that have been added to the Lord's church, each and every one has the responsibility to evangelize this world. And we must view it as such. And we must view evangelism as a mindset and a way of life, not as just something we do or we give off to others to do for us. Not something that just takes place every now and then, but something that is a part of who we are. That's how we see it being done in the first century. That's the blueprint for the world's greatest evangelism program.